St. Lucian, priest and martyr, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. So we're all back in school now after our Epiphany holiday, and last night's very beautiful Mass. And remember that the wonderful thing about our faith children, one of the many wonderful things, is that our great feast days don't come to an end, but rather now they continue. So we'll be having the same Mass for the days of the octave, with the exception of the feast on Sunday of the Holy Family, and we'll be able to think more and more about the three wise men and the three gifts and the three miracles whereby our blessed Savior manifests his divinity to all of the world. I thought I would tell you about a saint today who came from that same part of the world, Mesopotamia, Syria, is actually where he came from, and how he, like many of us, had to have not just the washing in the Jordan, but also how he had to have that moment of enlightenment, sort of tapping him on the shoulder and saying, "You're not on the right path. Now follow this path, follow the star of the Catholic faith." And how he, in the time of his bitterest trials and his greatest sufferings, was able to have the wine of charity to warm his heart, which is to say, the sacred body and the precious blood of our Lord. Saint Lucian of Syria was born to pagan parents during the persecution, and they were extremely wealthy, and he himself was raised as a pagan. But when they died, he came to the light of the faith, and he gave away everything that he had so that he might follow our Lord. Then he got very interested in the study of sacred scripture and theology in general. And I'm afraid he may have gotten a little bit involved with Paul of Samothrace. We used to study about him in theology class in the seminary, and he was one of those sort of troublesome figures who had some good ideas and some bad ideas. But this Paul of Samothrace, or Samothota, was outside of the communion of the Catholic Church because he had lapsed into some heresies. And for a while, we think that St. Lucian did too, but then that light of faith, God's mercy, the second, we call it children, the second piece of driftwood after shipwreck. What's that? The sacrament of penance, whereby the Holy Ghost enlightens us to our sins, moves our hearts to a real, effectual contrition for them, and makes us to confess them and promise never to commit them again, all the more so for sins against the faith, which are the most serious and grave of all. Well, that light of faith that came to the Magi, the star, led him back to the unity of the Catholic faith. And then, as our Lord often did in his mercy, he allowed him to be arrested and cruelly tortured so that he might expiate for his fault while here on earth, rather than having to go to purgatory, but rather to go straight to heaven when he died as a martyr. During his good period, we must say, did quite a bit of studies. He was a very studious man about the sacred scriptures. He made many corrections for where copyists, remember back then you had to copy things down by hand, and it would be very easy for a mistake to enter in, and that was quite a bit of the work of St. Jerome and of anyone who's doing what's called proofing, and it's notoriously difficult to proof. So St. Lucian must have had a lot of virtue because he very carefully went through each word in the Holy Bible to make sure that the one before him had copied it down correctly. It's very easy to make all sorts of mistakes. Someone just pointed out to me yesterday at the party, with I thought an undue degree of hilarity, how there had been a mistake in some prayer that we had last week, and instead of the yoke, meaning Y-O-K-E, the yoke of God's service, such as oxen, bear, which we refer to ourselves as bearing the yoke of God's service, someone had written down Y-O-L-K, which is the yellow part of an egg, and that's quite a different word, isn't it? Well, but it's very easy to make those little mistakes, and that's why you need someone who's a good proofer. St. Lucian, during the good times, did that. He proofed the sacred scripture. But then the time came for him to prove his knowledge of sacred scripture and his love for our faith. So he was arrested, thrown into jail, and then from time to time, after they were sort of starving him and torturing him, they would bring him out and they would say, "Now, who are you? who are your parents? Where are you from? And you know, the only thing he would say was, Christianism, I am a Christian. Because you see, that's what unites all of the children, being Christian members of the Holy Catholic Church. It doesn't matter what tribe or nation or people or tongue we're from. What gives us our identity is that we're Christian. We're members of the Holy Church. That's what we are. And that's how all of the different nations of the earth can get along and even pretty much behave themselves in the kingdom, as has been shown many times in church history, because we remember what we have in common, what is most precious of all. The other things, well, they're just secondary. Well, part of his punishment and part of his torture, children, was that he was not allowed to eat or drink. He was being starved to death, partly to weaken his resolve so that he would worship the idols. Then at a certain point, they brought to him meat that had been sacrificed to the pagan gods, to the demons. Now, St. Paul writes quite a bit about that. He says that in and of itself, you could eat it. But if it gave a bad example that would cause someone else to commit a sin, what's that? The sin of scandal, which means a little, kind of a little stone you might trip on. And you must never be a stone that someone else, especially someone younger, might trip on. Then in that case, St. Paul says, you better not eat the meat, because you would be giving a bad example if someone could be led into idol worship by doing it. But he says, in and of itself, you could. Well, he knew exactly what the pagans were up to. And if he ate even one little piece of that steak or hamburger, whatever it was, spare ribs, I'm not sure, whatever it was, if he just ate even a little bit of bite of it, they would have said, well, see, St. Lucian, he's eating the meat. So it must be all right to worship idols. So he refused to. He was being starved to death. But crueler than that, children, was the fact that he, a priest, for a long time, had been unable to offer the holy sacrifice of the Mass. And so, yesterday, on the feast day of the Epiphany, the Christians, smuggled into the prison, as they have done over the centuries, a little bit of bread and a little bit of wine, so that even though he was chained up in the dungeon dark, he could offer the divine sacrifice. And so he did, as some prisoners have done even during World War II. He had to offer it upon his breast, over his heart, because I think he was sort of being chained this way, longwise. Well, he did. He offered the holy sacrifice of the Mass in that way. It's a way which, outside of emergency or persecution, no priest would ever dare to do, but at this time it would be permitted so that the holy sacrifice could be offered and the strength of our Lord's presence in Holy Communion could be received. So he offered his last Mass that way the day after Epiphany, and then today was the day that he was put to death. That's our saint today, St. Lucian. And you have to ask yourself, am I one of those saints? Potentially. I'm not a saint yet, really. But could I be one of those saints that has kept his innocence all the way pure from the time of my baptism? Thanks be to God, and let me avoid all scandal and occasions of sin. Or am I one of those who have fallen into perhaps serious sin, and God's grace, like the light of the stars, tapped me on my shoulder more than once and said, oh, time to do penance, get back to the church. If so, I have a good saint to imitate in St. Lucian. But in any case, let me love the sacred scripture. Let me love holy reading, Bible history, and the study of my faith. And let me love most of all the holy sacrifice of the Mass. By these means, children, and accepting any little sacrifices our Lord may send us along the way, we can atone for all of our faults and show that our Lord was not wrong in giving us the tremendous grace of calling us to the true faith. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.